lets us to minister to us the word of God. So can we put our hands together to welcome Pastor Margaret?
In these 4-day sessions, we're going to be using this portion of Scripture, all right? If you have a Bible, you can turn to it. It's found in Acts 22, 14 and 15. 2 sessions today and 2 sessions tomorrow will come from these 2 verses, all right? And he said, "The God of our fathers hath chosen thee, that thou shouldst know his will, and see that just one, and shouldst hear the voice of his mouth. For thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard." Father, I just pray that for these 4-day sessions, that you're going to speak to us. I know it's going to tie in with the night sessions as well. But I just pray, Lord, that the truth that is contained in these 2 portions of Scripture, you're going to make them so real to our hearts. Lord, it is no use just believing on you and not having spiritual understanding. And when we accepted you, you gave us a spiritual understanding, an understanding that's not the natural understanding, but it's in the realm of the spirit, so we could understand the things of God, so we could see it clearly. Lord, I just pray that you're going to enlighten that understanding today and cause us to see truth in a different way than we've ever seen it before. And help us, Lord, because of seeing it in your light, that it will cause us to be able to walk worthy of your calling. I thank you. I praise you, Lord. You're so good. And we can do nothing without you. We need your anointing today. Anoint the word by your spirit. Let that word just enter right into each and every one of our hearts. And just let it bring forth fruit. And let it bring forth results that will glorify your name. In Jesus' name, amen. So, this session we're going to talk about the privilege of being chosen by God. And then the next one plus the 2 tomorrow will deal with the purpose why we're chosen, all right? To know his will, to see that just one, and to hear his voice. But we're going to talk about the privilege of being chosen by God. I'm going to have maybe a little longer introduction than what I had thought, but I kind of felt that way when I was preparing it early this morning. And I just want to go over a few things first. Whether you understand it or whether you don't. All right, now what time do I quit this one? I brought my paper, but I forgot to look. 11:30 or 15? 10:45. And now, oh my goodness sakes. Okay, we're going to have to hurry. All right. Praise God. There are two realms, all right? One is the natural. We all know that. That's the realm we live in. And the Bible says it's called temporal. It's just a temporary thing. It is not the lasting thing. And yet most of us put most of our energy and our efforts into this temporary realm. Isn't that right? And it's not going to last. But then there's the spiritual realm. And the Bible tells us that is eternal. That's the one that's going to be lasting. So instead of making such great strides to prepare for now, we need to make great strides to prepare for what is going to be everlasting. Isn't that right? That's going to go on forever and ever. Now, there are two kingdoms in the spiritual realm. Not everything in the spiritual realm is good. And we need to really understand that. Not every spirit is good. There are two kingdoms in the realm of the spiritual. The one, you know, is called the kingdom of light. All right. The other is the kingdom of darkness. Another way to say it is the one brings life. The other brings death. One is love. One is hatred. And one is liberty. And one is bondage. All right. Now, when God created you and me, He created us with a will. Of all the creatures that He created, you know, the people are always trying to tell us we came from monkeys, we can learn from the animals. No, 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 no. We are the highest order. We don't learn from the lower orders. We learn from the highest. And the reason I know we never came from monkeys is because they still exist. If we came from them, how come they're still around? Yeah? You know, if they turned into man, then there shouldn't be any more monkeys. So don't ever believe all that tommy rot, all right? We are the highest order, and of all the creatures, He has given us a will. We're called free moral agents. That means we have a right to choose because we are made in the image of God. Let's make man in our image, after our likeness, and therefore we have this will, and we can choose whether to follow God or choose whether we want to go our own way. The other animals and creatures are not like that. When God speaks to us, and we're going to learn, I don't remember if it's this session or the next session. I think it's this one. We're going to learn that, you know, everything hears the voice of God. We all hear the voice of God. You might not recognize that it is God, but you're hearing God's voice from the time you're young. You've heard God's voice. The Bible says so. But that when the animals, when creation hears God's voice, they obey it. They obey it explicitly, whether they like to or whether they don't like to. All right? It's God's will. God speaks and they do it. But you and I are different. He's given us a will. And we can hear God's voice. We can get direction from God and say, I don't want it. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to go. That's it. I choose to do my own thing. And God will never force us. All right. And that's why in the Bible it tells us, He says, I set before you life and death. Choose life that you might live. Choose. That's on our part. We can make a choice. All right. Now, the kingdom of darkness is ruled by Satan and his cohorts. We all know that, right? And actually, the Bible tells us all of us were a part of his system, all right? And we were all slaves in spiritual bondage. We were spiritually blind. We were spiritually dead. The Bible says we were alienated. That means cut off from the life of God, all right? Without hope, without help, without God in this world, all right? We had no choice at that time. And that's the way most of the people in the world, that's the way they are now, all right? It's only when the Lord came and set us free. So I just want you to realize that not everybody, those in the world, though they have a choice to make, they're already under the control of the devil. I remember preaching in Outram Road. This was years ago when we used to have school clubs. Of course, they didn't allow them, Christian school clubs. They didn't allow them in the school. So after school hours, whoever were the organizers, I don't remember if it was Youth for Christ or somebody like that, they would find places that would open their doors. Usually it would be a church that would open its door and let the school club, the students would come from the school and meet there in the weekday, you see. So I was invited to go and preach there one time, and God gave me a message, and there were about 100 boys and girls in that hall. And when I was preaching, I could feel the desire in them. I could sense they were on the edge of their seat, taking in what I was saying. Oh, when you're a preacher, you know. You preach and you can feel, boom, you're hitting a stone wall. And you look at people, yeah, and they're, you know, it's like, I'm not going to take what you have to offer, you know, like that. But that was different. I could feel the eagerness in them. So I was expecting a good altar call. And when I gave the altar call, how many would like to accept Jesus? How many would, Not one came forward. I gave it again. Not one came forward. And I was young in those days, didn't know as much as I know now, all right, from the teaching of the Lord. But, you know, I felt angry inside. I felt upset. I know you want what I have. I can tell you're wanting it. Why won't you respond? Why don't you come up here, you know? But God, remember I told you, He knows your motives, He knows your thoughts, everything. He just spoke to me. He realized I was thinking with my natural head. He spoke into my heart. He said, they can't. They want to, but Satan has their will bound. Now you loose their will, and you see, they'll come forward. Well, but the Lord showed me clearly, you can't just loose it forever. See? Again, that has to do with us. What you do when your will is loose, you make a choice. Do you want or don't you want? So anyways, I obeyed the Lord and I told them that. I said, you know, not one of you have come forward, but this is what God showed me. And I told them what God showed me. I said, I am now going to pray. I have the authority in the name of Jesus to loose your will, not forever, but for these few moments. These few moments, I'm going to forbid Satan. I'm going to tell him he has to take his hands off your will. You will be free to make a choice. If you want to make the choice in those few moments, quickly come forward. Because after those few moments, you don't make a choice. The devil's going to take your will again, and you won't be able to make a choice. So I prayed like that. I'm telling you, they flocked up to the altar. I was shocked at how many came, and I learned a good lesson then, all right? People that are in the world, their will is taken over many times. Sometimes your parents, sometimes your relatives, they just can't, because they're spiritually blind, but their will is controlled. But we have the authority over them. So I'm just going to give you two illustrations of, in the world, things that go on. We're talking now, and I haven't got to it yet, but we're talking about the privilege of being chosen. After you hear these couple, three stories, I hope you're going to realize how fortunate we are, how privileged we are that God has chosen us to release us and to break the chains of darkness. There's a place called St. Patrick in Ireland. All right. This was many. I read the book that this story was written in. It was a history book about the Druids. Have you ever heard of Druids? Anyways, they were Satan worshipers, really, even though they don't recognize it. They had a high priest, and whenever it came to the harvest festival, they wanted to appease the gods of the festival. And so one was chosen. That high priest would choose a tiny little girl to be sacrificed. And how did she die? They didn't take a knife and kill her. They would take that tiny, innocent little girl, and you, with stones, they would stone her to death to appease the gods of the harvest. See the difference between the powers of darkness and the powers, our God of light. He's a God of love. Oh, Satan just wants to mutilate. He wants to ruin. He wants to tear apart. He wants violence. He's hatred. He's full of hatred and maliciousness. Isn't that right? She had no choice. She was chosen to die. All right? Second one is in Nepal. There's a little girl called the Living Goddess. I went by the temple. I've seen her show her face out of that temple. And 5 years old, every 7 years they choose a little girl. 5 years old. She's chosen by demonic spirits is what it is. Whoever it is who is chosen, she has no choice. She's taken. She's brought there. She's locked up inside of that temple. Every day she has to appear and show her face. They think that the spirit of the God came in her. She's a living goddess. People will pray to her. People will, you know. But when she reaches 12 years old, finished. She's kicked out. She's thrown out. She's forbidden ever to get married. Her life is just worthless. For 7 years, she's a goddess. And then they get rid of her and they take another little girl. She has no choice. She's been chosen to a life of misery. Friends, how much different with God? Amen. I don't know if it means anything to you that God has chosen us, all right? But it's a marvelous thing. It's a wonderful thing to be chosen. We have so much to be thankful for. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 12 and 13, it says, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet or worthy to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. See, none of us, we were born in that sinful state, and none of us are worthy, none of us are able, and none of us are eligible even. But he not only chooses us, he makes us worthy. He makes us eligible to become a saint and have a partaker of the inheritance of the saints in life. Verse 13, who hath delivered us. Notice that that's past tense. It's a finished. It's not just a past. How does that go? Past continuous. You know, it doesn't say who was delivering us. Now, you never know if he ever finished it. See, but he hath delivered. In the Greek, it's called the aorist. That means it was done in the past and it was a completed act. It's finished. Amen. Whoa, I like grammar. It's so, you know, it shows us things very, very beautifully. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. See, the kingdom of darkness is not just, don't dabble in it, young people. Nowadays, they have so much in like these books that are, what is that one? Harry Potter. Don't think they're just fun stories. Hey, Satan is laying the groundwork to cause you to want the things of the spirit of darkness. Out of curiosity, out of nice little stories, all right, that you want power. But I'm telling you, that power is a power of destruction in your life. Don't want those things. And when Jesus takes us, he breaks that power of darkness. Hallelujah. And have translated us. That means elevated us into the kingdom of his dear son. All right. And we know that a kingdom has a king, and we're the subjects in that kingdom, and therefore we need to know the will of God. Isn't that right? We need to know who's over us. So it says here, the God of our fathers hath chosen you that you should what? Know that just one. But we're just going to come here and go back again. What a marvelous thing then to be chosen by God. All right. What a privilege. Let's look at Psalm 65, verse 4. Blessed is the man. Of course, that just means a human being, not man in a gender, all right? Man and woman here. Blessed is the person whom thou choosest and causes to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. Wow. See, you know, if God didn't first work in your heart, none of us would have a chance. You can seek for God all of your life and never find him. He's invisible. He's a spirit. How to find him? God initiated it when he sent Jesus to this world. He made a way so that when we seek him, we're able to find him. He will respond to us. He reveals himself. All right? He's a spirit. You cannot, you know, and don't get make up a God of your own. You know, like the, nothing against the Chinese, but I grew up amongst Chinese and I've lived amongst Chinese all my life. All right. So, of course, I know more about them than I do the rest of the world. The rest of the world might have their customs and so forth. But, you know, over there in China, I remember they had gods of their own making. If they were gamblers, they had a gambler's god, you know, one that would make them choose the right number, choose the right horse, and so forth. There was a kitchen god, I remember, all right? Well, they had, over there, they had a big compound and many houses in that compound with a common kitchen. Can you imagine more than one woman? I mean, for a little while, we can get along, isn't it? But when it's forever, the women all, Yeah. So they had a kitchen god that's watching what they're doing. Oh, sometimes fighting, sometimes scolding, sometimes pulling hair. Oh, my. What went on? I could look from my house down and I saw a lot of things that went on. And once a year, that kitchen god would go up to the main god to report everything he had seen going on. So these cunning women, you know, they would make this candy. Oh, boy, that candy was nice. I'm not a god, but I enjoyed that candy. I tell you, it was a toffee, but it was hard. And if you broke it, it would break. And it was porous. It had holes all in it like that. You put it in your mouth, but then as the warmth of your mouth, then it would get sticky and gooey, you know. And then your teeth can't open up, you know, till it's all gone. So they would offer that to the kitchen god just before he's going up. And oh yeah, he gets up, and then he comes back. He never got to tell anything. So they were free for, you know, that's a god of your own making. So sometimes we as Christians like to have, we think God is like this. No. You can't decide what God is like. His word reveals to us what he is like. And we must understand from God's word who God is and what he's like and conform to it. Isn't that right? So he tells us in the Bible how he chooses. I remember as a girl, I went to the American school in Peking, and it was a school that had grades 1 right up through 12. And the principal, she was the teacher of the home classroom of 8th and 9th grades. So, or no, 7th and 8th, that was it, the junior high. She was there. So they always felt privileged because the principal was their teacher. So whenever we had sports, it was 7th and 8th grade against the rest. So all from primary 1 up to 6 and then high school. They were one team. 7th and 8th were a special team. I don't know where that came from, but that was the way it was. And then they would choose get out of here. Yeah. They would choose leaders, you know, the captains, and then they would choose. And of course they chose the fastest, the best, and we younger ones, maybe I was primary three, you know. Choose me, choose me. Oh, how you want to be chosen. No, they don't want you. Finally, when it's all over, okay, come. You know, very reluctantly, okay, we'll take you on our side. Huh? I just remember being chosen was so important. So how does God choose? See, the Bible tells us very clearly. That's in Ephesians 1, 3, and 4. All right. That he has chosen us in Christ. In Christ. This is how he chooses. You know, he does not do like this. And don't get that. This is called predestination. The way the people of the church see it, you know. Okay, he's a good-looking man. I choose you. Okay, no, I don't want you. I want you. No, 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 no. You go to heaven. You go to hell. You go to heaven. No. There's no such a thing. The Bible says clearly that what he did was, I read it in Psalms just last night. It said that he has set his throne up for judgment, but he sent mercy and truth before his face. Well, who's the mercy of God? Jesus. Who is the truth of God? Jesus. Amen. So here is God Almighty who's going to judge the world, all right, in righteousness. But before he judges, he sent Jesus ahead, his son. You and I meet Jesus before we meet God. And we have a choice to make. Do we want to believe him or do we not want to believe him? See, there's where the will comes in. Do I want to follow him or do I not want to follow him? Everybody chooses. Nobody. God doesn't force anyone. A couple of times I felt he almost kind of forced somebody. And if I ever have time, I'll tell you a story that lets you know. But on the whole, no. All right. And so when we choose and we say, Jesus, when he knocks on the door, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, see, I will come in. He won't push it. The devil does. You open a crack. He forces his way in, see. But Jesus doesn't. There's no handle on the outside. The handle's on the inside. And when he knocks, you have to open from the inside. Please come in, Jesus. I want you. And the moment you invite Jesus, God says, I choose you. I choose you. I choose you. That's how we're chosen. So in that degree, it's based on our decision. But many people don't understand that, all right? If people go to hell, God never sends anybody to hell. It's our own choice. Because he sent Jesus and we faced Jesus and we made a decision whether we wanted Jesus or not. And he tells us, if you choose my son, I will choose you. Amen. Amen. It's in Christ that we are chosen. All right. Another thing is in 1 Corinthians 1, 26 to 31. I'm not going to read it. You go home and read it. We're told here it's not based on our ability. All right. Or our reputation. Let me just read part of it. Well, maybe I'll read more than just part. 26. You see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world. So I'm just going to see those three things here. The wise, the mighty, the noble. There was a queen a long time ago. My husband tells me it was Queen Elizabeth, not the one that's now, but years ago there was a Queen Elizabeth. And she said this. She said, I was saved by the letter M. M. You say, why the letter M? Because not many. What if there was no M? Not any. Not any noble. She said, I wouldn't have made it. But the letter M, not many. I'm one of those few that got chosen, she said. Amen. Whoa. Isn't God good? So it has nothing to do with how good we are, how this we are, you know, has nothing to do with our reputation, who people think we are, how we pose. No, it has to do with whether or not we've accepted Jesus. And all right, so now we're chosen, all right? We're chosen to know His will. All right. In order to really know the will of God, we need to know God's position. Because, and this, it took me a long time. Now, see, I'm not a first generation. My grandfather got saved. Actually, I found out through my daughter, Tracy, I have relatives that came over on the Mayflower to America. And they were born again believers who left legacies of letters there. I'm praying for my descendants that they will all, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, great-great-grandchildren, that they will know that Jesus Christ died. And because of His blood, we are born again. We are saved. I mean, very clear declaration. So it's in my background there. Praise God. I didn't know that except that she did a tracing through. All right. So as it comes down, then I'm not first generation. In other words, I didn't come out of heathenism. All right. Sometimes we take things very lightly. Oh, yeah, I know God. Yeah, I've heard about God from the time I was young. I've heard about God. Hey, we need it revealed to us who God really is. All of us do. It's not enough to accept Jesus. He is the King. God is God, but we need to understand His position, all right? Let's look at Psalms 100, verse 3. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. The Lord is Jehovah. That means the self-existent one, the ever-present one, all right? I am that I am. He's always I am. He's never I was. He's never I will be. I am, all right? He's the Almighty. He's the one who has all ability. And I've preached quite a bit of this. He's able to meet every need. He's able to, whatever your need, whenever your need, wherever your need, He's able to do it. Isn't that right? We need to know that is, He's God. He's not only God, He is our Creator. And He created us, you know, in His likeness. It says in Psalms 100 verse 3, it is He that hath made us and not we ourselves. We heard last night and we sang it today. We're made for His pleasure. We're made for His purpose. We're made for His will, not our own. We need to understand that. I can remember one time, and maybe some of you have prayed the same way. I said to the Lord, well, more than once, many times, I said, Lord, I'm not sure this is You. I don't know. Is this Your voice? Is it my own voice? Or is it the devil? Now, the devil and God don't sound the same. But I would always say, Lord, if I only knew it was You, I would obey, of course. But I don't know. And you know what the Lord told me? He answered me one time. And He said, the reason you don't know is because you don't want to obey. See? So as long as we call it rationalizing. As long as you can convince yourself you don't know if it's me or not, then you don't have to obey. After all, I might not be obeying God. I might be just doing it on my own. You know, like the Lord tells you, give so-and-so $100. Hello? I don't think the devil would tell you to do that. Give the church $1,000. The devil's not going to tell you that. And you sure know you wouldn't tell yourself to do that. And yet we'll say, Lord, I don't know if this is really You or not. You understand what I'm saying? Because inside, how to part with $1,000, see? Yeah. And the Lord said, you don't really want to obey me. And he let me know what I, and I tried to argue, nor I'm not like that. He said, you pray, show me your will. Show me what you want. And then after I tell you, then you think about it. Is it palatable? Is it nice? No, I don't want to do that. And then you decide you don't want to do it. Why should I show you my will, he said. You don't plan to obey it anyways. Only if it's something that tickles you, makes you feel good, then you say yes. Do you think Jesus felt good when God said, hang on the cross? Do you go, oh, yay, I'm going to get nails in my hands. Oh, I'm so excited I get to be crucified. Do you think that it was something palatable to the outer man? No. He struggled in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he finally said, Lord, not my will. If there's any other way, please give me another way. But if there's no other way, not my will, but thy will be done. God's will is not always palatable, nice, acceptable. In fact, the Bible says about Jesus, who humbled himself and became obedient unto death. From that verse, that's Philippians chapter 2. I know that obedience is a humbling of our own self. Every time you and I obey, we have to humble ourselves because our natural man does not want the things of God. I don't care what it seems like. And this is how I know now whether it's God. You know, when I feel like God wants me to do something, it's like, oh, God wants me to do it. God wants me. I got to do it. That is not God. When it's really God, I'm saying, oh, God, please don't. Oh, God. Oh, please, please. When I'm, eager beaver, gung-ho, I got to do it. Get out of my way. This is God. I got to do it. That is yourself, pure and simple. Yeah, because the natural man doesn't want to do the will of God. Recognize it. But when you know it's God, knowing he's God, we're to do his will. We pray till we're willing to surrender, submit, and we say, yes, Lord, not my will, but thy will. Give me the strength and I will do it. Give me the strength to go ahead, to talk to this one, to do that, to whatever it is. All right? Well, there's a chorus that I heard. I don't know where I heard it, so I found it online and I downloaded it so that I could hear it more often. It goes like this. I won't try to sing it. I don't have a voice to sing. But it says, I was made to praise you. I was made to glorify your name. In every circumstance, to find a chance to thank you. I was made to love you. I was made to worship at your feet and to obey you, Lord. I was made for you. Amen. And you know, when we start really obeying him, following him, that's when we're the happiest. When we're doing what he wants, all right? What a privilege that he chose us. But in order, when he chooses us, then we must realize he is the king. He is the Lord. He is God. Now, we need to know his will. Paul's prayer in Colossians 1, 9, and 10 goes like this. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Why? In order that you might walk worthy of the Lord. There it is. That's why we need to know his will. If we know his position, he is God. He's the creator. He's the one that made us. Then we need to know what he wants. So I'm going to ask this question, how to know the will of God? Now, we're going to talk about the will of God in our next class, but there's far too much to say. So I'm going to get us into it right now. We need to know His will. How to know His will. All right? And that's going to take us. And you might think I'm jumping ahead, but I'm not. I'm just laying a groundwork. All right? He created all things with the ability to hear His voice. All right? Everything can hear His voice. Whether it's birds, beasts, all of creation. All right? All the insects, whatever they are. The fish. Think about Jonah. God prepared a fish. How did He prepare him? I don't think He made a special fish. He prepared him by speaking to him and saying, you know what? I have a special job for you. There's a man that's going to be thrown overboard. Get around that ship. And when he's thrown overboard, you take him and gulp him down. Don't chew him up. Just swallow him alive. Yeah. Can you imagine being in that stomach? You read what he wrote, and all the weeds wrapped around his head and all the acid of that. You know, that's why when he went to Nineveh, they believed him. He must have looked like a, you know, that acid had eaten. Whoa, he was like a ghost, a white, you know. Whoa, his pigmentation was all changed from being in that fish's stomach, you know. And then when he repented, then God said to the fish, okay. See? Now, why didn't the fish, you know, this guy's making me sick to my stomach. He could have done it out there in the ocean and another fish would have killed him. No, God said, you hold on. I know he's making you sick. He made me sick too. But I got to teach him a lesson. Now you wait till you get to the shore. When you get to the shore, then you can throw up. And you've done your job, then you go your way. Hey, that's how God prepared a fish. See? He says here in, don't look at it, turn to it, 2 Corinthians chapter 7. If I command the locusts, see, God himself says, I'm telling you, God can use one of the least of creation. I'm going to tell you a true story. There was a man who claimed to be an atheist. Who is one who doesn't believe in God. But he was more than that because he made fun and he ridiculed and he mocked the people of God. He lived in a small village up in a mountainous area that was full of like a big forest up there. And so he would mock those villagers. And finally one day he says, we're going to put an end to this. He said, I'm going to prove to you there is no God. He said, I'm going into the woods in the forest for 24 hours. And I'm going to challenge God. And if I come out alive, then you know there's no God. And if God is God, let him smite me dead up there and I won't come out. And all the villagers were all, whoa, you know, don't do like that, don't they? No, he went. So he gets there in the woods and then he starts, you know, shaking his fist. Yeah, God, are you up there? Show yourself. Be a man. Come on. Let's have a fight. You know, who's bigger? Da, 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 da. He ranted and raved and ran and raved. Anyways, at the end, he comes out. He comes out and he said, he said, God, there's no God. He said, you see, here I am. You know, he said, the only thing that came to me was a little gnat. G-N-A-T, a gnat. That's the smallest of an insect. And it came and it bit me on the eye. And I said, oh, is that you, God, huh? You know what? When he came out and said that, that eye started to swell. And the red line came and it showed poison. Before 24 hours was up, he was a dead man. This is a true story. See, God didn't have to come down there. Cha, cha. He just said to one of the tiniest, go bite him. He's beneath me. I'm not going to go fight with him. You go give him a bite. And in 24 hours, he was dead. See, all of creation can hear the voice of God. Do you remember the story of Elijah? No water. And then how God sent Elijah to a brook to get his water. And then God said, I have commanded the ravens to feed you. You know, raven, I don't know if you know, is something like a blackbird. And they're known, in fact, that's where we get our word ravenous. Ravenous, because ravens will eat and eat and eat. They're just, they have a, whatever they find, they eat, they take. And can you imagine, God took a bird like that against his nature and said, you feed Elijah every day, bread and meat. And my husband tells it much better. He's the one, I heard him tell it, I liked it. He said, weren't you thinking that day and age was the best meat, the most tender meat? It was King Ahab's palace, I'm sure. And he's sit down, oh, there's nice chicken, oh, you know, and just as he's going to go out there, shoom, and the bird grabs one of those drumsticks and tung, out he goes. Hey, get that bird. Every day he'd come meet whatever it is. Out he'd go. And can you imagine when he's flying? God, let me have a taste. No. God, it smells so good. Don't you touch it. That's for Elijah. Every day he had to drop. Whoa. Because they all obey. They obey him. You say, but that's Bible stories. Well, you know, during World War II, there was a lady missionary in Shanghai. And when they had, where they shut everything, martial law, you know, wouldn't let them go out. She became a prisoner in her own home. And she said to God, God, I need protein. Yes, they'll bring me bread or rice or something like that. I need some protein. Every day I need protein. What am I going to do? And I can't go out to buy it. From that day that she prayed until that house arrest was broken, a cat came. That is a true story. She recorded it all. She said a cat would come with a piece of meat and drop at her feet. And she would take it and cook it. Every day without fail, she got a portion of protein. And the day that no longer they were under house arrest, she never saw the cat again. I tell you, God is able to do anything and everything. Amen. Look at those 10 plagues in Egypt. I'm just letting you know that God speaks to everything and they hear it. All right. The 10 plagues, there were frogs, there were flies, there were lice, there was hail, there was murrain on the cat. Do you remember all that? That wasn't just happen chance. When the word of the Lord went out, they came. When the word of the Lord says, go back, they all died or they went back to where they were. Anything and everything, all obeyed God's voice. He even made a difference with some of those, and he separated his children from the Egyptians. Do you remember that? Yeah, because we're special. We belong to him. And there are some things that when God allows to happen to others, it doesn't happen to us because we're special. Amen. When Jesus was here on earth, the winds and the waves obeyed him, right? And they said, what manner of man is this? No, because he spoke with the voice of God and they obeyed. Amen. Now, I want all of us to repeat after me. You say, I have been created to hear God's voice. Let's say it again. I have. All right. Then let's say the second one. I have been created to obey God's voice. Let's do it again. I have been created to obey God's voice. He's God. He's the creator. He made us to do his will. He made us to function in the best way possible when we're connected to Him and drawing from Him and hearing from Him. Oh, what a privilege to be put back into connection with Him. The Bible says we have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Whatever is a spiritual blessing in Christ, it's ours. Whether you were called, whether you're chosen, whether you're adopted, whether you've been forgiven, everything comes because of Jesus, being in Jesus. Amen. What a privilege. I just want us to spend a few minutes and raise your hands. Let's all stand to our feet, raise our hands, and just begin to thank Him for choosing us. The privilege of being chosen. Lord, I thank You. I praise You. Lord, it's not happen chance. You chose us. You sent Jesus. Hallelujah. And in Jesus we can know You. In Jesus we can receive from You. In Jesus we have our everything. Hallelujah. We praise You, Lord. We praise You, Lord. We give You the glory and You the honor, Lord. Help us never to forget it. Help us always to be thankful and grateful to You, because had You not chosen us, had You not made a way of salvation, had You not given us the opportunity to choose to follow You, where would we be? Where would we be, Lord? Oh, we thank You. We bless You. We adore You. Hallelujah. Hurabahi rabahaya. Hayalababashandalababahaya. Oh, rabakita lababahaya. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. I saw you mouth the words when I was doing that song. Do you know that song? I was made to. Yeah, if you play it, maybe they'll know it. We'll sing it, and then I'll turn it over to.
Made to worship.
Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to Him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before Him who sits on the throne and worship Him who lives forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for You have created all things, and by Your will they exist and were created." I pray, Lord, You will help us to realize that we were created, and we are created to worship You. That we are created in Your likeness and in Your image. And to the extent we surrender ourselves to You, Lord, and that is the extent we will find fulfillment and satisfaction in our life. So I pray, Father, You give us the grace, Lord, to surrender, Lord, our being to You. Surrender our life to You. And in the process, Lord, we discover, Lord, there's so much joy, there's so much fulfillment, Lord, in obeying Your will. So help us, Lord, not by my will, not our will, but Your will be done through us. That Jesus be glorified in everything we do. So the next session, prepare our hearts to receive Your words. And reach our fellowship together in our tea break. We give You the praise and the glory and the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.